Good morning and welcome to the Down the Dunk podcast. I'm Luke. I'm joined by Taylor, Andrew, and special guest with us this morning, John Hamm.
Well, special's going a little far, but thank you.
You're special.
Thank you. Well, in more ways than one.
Well, welcome. We're glad you could join us.
Thank you very much, guys, as always.
What yes. song was that?
It's Enya. Innocence. Yeah. Enya. It's Enya. No. It's not Enya.
Is it not?
No.
No. It's no. Enigma.
Enigma. Yeah.
Child of the 90s.
Yeah.
All
or
right.
If you just search Native American song, it's the first thing that comes up. That's how really? I found it on Google one day. Yep.
You just needed some Native American songs in your life, I feel like.
Everyone does.
And you got them. All right. Let's jump into some Twitter questions.
Twitter questions.
These guys have got a lot this morning. First is from @ Dr. Gorilla Farts.
Never lets us down, by the way.
Mm-mm. Never does.
No, impossible.
And he wants to know, which is a worse way to end a season? The way the Thunder did this year with injuries and no playoffs, or with a heartbreak like the Clippers?
It's the Clippers.
It's the Clippers.
That's it.
It might be.
That was awful. I mean, I cannot remember more of a collapse. Like, the biggest collapse that I can remember in the playoffs is like the 2006 Lakers that were up 3-1 versus the Phoenix Suns, and then they ended up losing the series. But like, that still made sense because the Suns were way better than the Lakers. This didn't make any sense. Like, they were killing them.
Yeah.
And then they I mean, it was pretty pathetic.
I don't know. Like, nothing really happened to start this. You know what I, like, you can't look at one moment and you're like, that's the moment the Clippers just lost it and everything started to fall apart. It was just kind of like, it was just there all of a sudden for no reason. And now there's a team playing the Golden State Warriors that was like a decent bit worse than the team they just played the round before, because that team, the Clippers, just laid an egg. I don't know.
It doesn't help that Chris Paul, the narrative that he's never gotten past second round.
I know.
It doesn't help that at all.
It's insane.
It's kind of funny now.
It is funny.
It's kind of exactly what I wanted.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. Like, Chris Paul is obviously one of the best players in the NBA. And it's kind of an unfair narrative that still has life, like a lot of life now. It sucks for Clippers fans because it was the most Clipper thing that could have happened.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
I think you're all right. The difference that I see, injuries are out of your control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blowing a 3-1 lead is in your control, especially when you have a 19-point lead with a minute to go in the third quarter of a closeout game.
Yeah.
So that's where I see this being worse to end the season like the Clippers, because if it's out of your control, hey, what can you do?
You let Josh Smith beat you.
Right.
That's in your control.
And Corey Brewer.
That's a problem.
And it's not 2006 or 2007 and Corey Brewer's beating you.
It's crazy. But yeah, clip claps.
God, it was great to watch. I was super into the series once the Rockets, like,
I know, it was
started coming back.
It wasn't an interesting series.
Oh, it was terrible to watch.
It was not fun to watch, but the outcome was very interesting.
Also, just remember, there was a game that the Rockets closed out the Clippers and Harden was sitting on the bench the entire fourth quarter.
Yes. Yeah.
Jason Terry played the fourth quarter instead of James Harden, and you lost that game. Like, there's so many things. You're like, why did this happen? Why did you do this, Clippers?
I think they just ran out of gas. I mean,
well, if you watch that game, like, the fans were like so excited in the third quarter. I mean, like, we're going to the Western Conference Finals, and like, the players relaxed.
They
relaxed in that game. They didn't defend the 3-point line. They got easy looks, and then J.J. Redick missed everything from that point forward. The Clippers tightened up. They didn't play defense, and the Rockets took advantage of it.
And the crowd tightened up too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if you're like even a Clippers fan for like the last 10 years. Like, you see this start to happen, you're like, oh no.
Oh no.
It's happening again. I cannot believe this.
Yeah.
And Yeah.
Do you think this goes back to some players hate the Clippers because they say like they play with a sense of entitlement and all this stuff? Does this go back to that? Did they feel prematurely entitled win the round? Yeah,
They were the most confident team in the NBA.
Yeah.
In those first few games. I mean, there was no question about it.
Steve Ballmer already had out the champagne.
Did he really?
I bet he's just in a coma now.
Yeah, what's he doing?
I do miss Ballmer.
He's very sad. Ballmer.
He's probably saying, I should have bought the Seattle Supersonics when I had a chance and built a new building
about
half the price that I could have bought the Clippers for.
Yeah.
He might be saying something like that.
Probably. All right, guys, our next Twitter question comes from @JPOSU, and he wants to know, do you really see Presti leaving Houston to toil in the D-League after purportedly promising him a spot on the 15-16 roster?
I wrote down, yes. I think he might.
Really?
I think he might. Huestis has already come out and said that he would be fine playing in the D-League another year. And
he did?
Yeah. He did an interview, and they asked him about coming over, and he said basically, like, you know, if I need to do it again, I'll do it again. I mean, it's just kind of like the math doesn't really work real well with the roster that they have right now. To bring him in, I mean, you're going to have to clear two spots, one for the first round pick, another one for Huestis. And I don't know if Presti's ready to get rid of both Jeremy Lamb and Perry Jones as much as we are. And then, like, is he going to be able to just give Steve Novak away? Like, I don't know what he has a lot of choices to make in order for Huestis to be able to be on this team. It would suck for Huestis.
I think.
Because, I mean, he'd be making $30,000 again instead of, like, $900,000 or $1 million. I mean, so. But I don't know. I don't know. It wouldn't shock me at this point. I expect Huestis to be on the team next year, but it wouldn't shock me if he wasn't.
The heat the Thunder will take from the media for this would be just
outrageous. Do you think the media even care about this that much, though?
Do you not remember when it happened, how much the media cared about it? It was a big deal.
The Thunder are cheap narrative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but if they're paying the luxury tax,
I know.
Are they? Can that narrative continue on? I mean, why can't it be like, you know, Huestis just isn't ready. He's just not ready. And we are going to give him some more time to actually play minutes.
If he's okay with it, I just don't know. It just kind of seems like a D move.
But is he okay with it? Like, okay, I'm okay with you putting me on your roster and paying me $1 million, and then I'll play. Like, you can send me to the D League team to play some games. You know what I mean? What exactly is he okay with?
So I think it's important to understand the whole process here, because it's not like Presti is Odin the High Father, then he's saying you are not worthy and banishing him down for another season. How this works, in order for the Thunder to retain his draft rights, they have to tender him a contract. It has to be for 80% of his rookie scale.
Yeah.
So they're going to tender him a contract that if he puts his name on it, he is guaranteed at least $1.5 million. He could do that at any time.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get together and say, hey, look, here's the situation. Here's how we feel about you. Here's what we think is best for you, for the team, for everyone long term. And if Huestis is on board with it, going back to what you said, then he's on board with it. He can blow it up at any time and say, no, I'm signing the contract, I'm cashing out. So, yeah. In other words, this is a collaborative thing. Where it would be a D move is if the Thunder did not tender that contract offer, or if they renounced his rights.
Right.
So,
which I don't expect them to.
I don't expect them to, because it sounds like they're still committed to him. But and kind of going back even further, it's important to remember he was considered a second round pick or an undrafted guy.
Yeah.
So if that had happened, you know, he would have been fighting for a minimum salary contract, probably getting a partial guarantee and then going down to the D League. His agent lined this up, and this is what someone close to his agent told me, and it just verified what's already been written. He agreed to this because his agents, their job is to get him drafted as high as possible.
Yeah.
And so they found the Thunder willing to do this. Huestis was willing to do this with the Thunder or the Spurs because of their D-League affiliation. So on the surface, it might sound like, oh my gosh, they're really screwing him up.
Yeah.
But it is very much a collaborative effort between the two.
Yeah. That's really interesting that the agent approached the Thunder organization with that idea.
Yes.
That's very interesting. That kind of changes the whole narrative of this story then, doesn't
it? Yeah. I mean, okay. It's a smart idea.
Yeah, it's very smart. It, like, as an agent, get your player drafted, you know?
Drafted, yeah.
Get him drafted high and to a good team.
Yeah.
Now, the kind of concerning thing there is Huestis played 4 years at Stanford, and supposedly he's going this route because if he went overseas or went somewhere else, they're going to play him at power forward, play him at position, and this allows him to develop into that 3-and-D player that, that they think he's going to be.
Yeah.
His stats in the D-League were not really good last season, offensive stats. Yeah. So it's a little concerning that after 4 years of Stanford and 1 year in the D-League that they could say, you know, you might need another year.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, very true.
How old is he?
Oh, he's like 84.
Oh, God. he's got to be 20, old. 23, probably?
23, yeah. 24 would be my guess.
Huh. Crazy. All right. Well, our next Twitter question comes from Cease66. I don't know if I pronounced that right. I probably didn't. And he wants to know if you could pick one former Sonic/Thunder player in their prime to put on the team, who would it be?
Detlef Schrempf.
Give me Detlef.
God, Detlef.
I think there's one answer. I think there's one answer in my mind. Ray Allen. Why wouldn't... I mean, you put Ray Allen in the starting lineup of this team, like, you don't stop them ever.
Now... In his prime, Ray Allen. Not right now, Ray Allen.
Yeah, prime Ray Allen.
I'm going to take...
Sonics Ray Allen.
I'm going to take... Right. Whenever KD was prime in his rookie year, that's who I'm taking. Like, prime month rookie KD. Put him on the team.
Two KDs?
Yeah. Two KDs is better than Ray Allen. And then he just develops
alongside KD.
Yes.
Who better to teach him than
himself? Holy crap, that is deep,
man. It's like when the all-new X-Men...
It's exactly like that.
When the 60s X-Men come to the future and meet their future counterpart.
I was about to drop some comic book nerdage, but I'm glad someone else is here to do it.
Yeah, that's why you invited me. you're all youngsters here, so I'm throwing it back. I want Jack Sigma. Jack Sigma, who had the blonde Jerry curl going on later in his career. Now, that dude was an all-star. All-star center, well-rounded, all-defensive type guy. That was a 20-point, 10-board type of player. Who could also dish out some assists from the low post. I'm going with the big man.
What about Gary Payton?
It's funny no one mentioned him.
Well, it's just because I think of Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, but I mean, if you had them both in a backcourt,
yeah,
it'd be pretty sick. But neither of them shoot threes well.
No.
Right.
No. What about Sam Perkins? And then everyone shoots threes on this team.
What about Rashard?
Rashard
was really good.
He was really good.
We think of, like, you know,
old guy
dying Miami Heat Rashard Lewis, but Rashard Lewis was awesome.
He was an all-star.
He was incredible.
All right, guys, our next Twitter question is from @Josh_Butler.
Two underscores.
What this says, I don't want to get it wrong. And he wants to know, what is your dream never going to happen off-season trade?
I have several.
Perry Jones for Anthony Davis is mine.
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Never going to happen.
Worth making the call, though.
I have realistic ones that won't happen as well.
You're saying I'm not realistic?
Well.
All right.
Dion and Lambeau for Wilson Chandler. Never going to happen.
Never going to happen. Never going to happen.
Dion and Lambeau for PJ Tucker.
And his DUIs, or do those stay behind in Arizona?
Bring his DUIs to OKC.
Watch the roads. Here comes PJ Tucker.
Everybody watch out.
Bring the DUIs to OKC.
All right, lawyers. Get ready. Here comes PJ.
Dion and Lambeau for Kevin Martin.
All your these are all Dion and Lambeau trades?
Yeah. Yep. Except for this last one, Perry Jones and Lambeau for Mo Harkless and Devin Marble.
I would do that.
I would do all of these.
Maybe. How unrealistic is that last one?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
We can give the Magic players that we don't like for players they don't like.
Yeah.
I think the bigger question is, what's your problem with Waiters, man? And Lambeau.
Seriously. I thought you were on the Waiters train.
I'm definitely on the Waiters train, but if we can get a proven player that can actually play a role and doesn't think he's the best player in the NBA, I think it might be a good
thing. Would you rather have a proven player or someone who thinks they're a proven player?
I think I like Dion Waiters. I like how round he is.
he is.
But I would rather have any of those other guys because they're, I mean, those guys off the bench would be great. And PJ Tucker would be a good starting too.
As long as he was sober. And as long as he's still hitting open threes, since like last year is the only year that he was really hitting a lot of open threes. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anybody else? I can't get away from the trade machine.
No, I know.
Let's just move on to our next Twitter question. It is from at Real Chris Wagner, who wants to know.
Not the fake Chris Wagner.
Not the fake, the real deal.
Okay.
He wants to know, which backcourt combo in the league would you most like to see a sitcom about?
Mine is Victor Oladipo and Alfred Payton. Is yours too?
Yes. What's yours called?
Mine's just called The Cool Dudes.
The Cool Dudes.
Okay, mine is called The Alfred Depot. And Alfred Payton and Victor Oladipo run a Home Depot. And they're the managers, and then you get to just see what happens.
Wait, why? I say they're train conductors.
I thought about that, but I think that there's a lot of hijinks that can happen within a Home Depot.
That's true.
Why are they running a Home Depot now and not in the NBA?
Because it's a sitcom. It's the Alfred Depot.
I know, but
it's in their summers.
In their summers?
Let's say that.
It's a TV show.
Okay.
It'd be great.
Yeah, it would be good.
You know, they get in the paint. They have the paint.
Oh, in the paint. Oh. I know.
They're making paint. They're, you know, like cutting large boards. They're gonna have to do all sorts of things. Find different kinds of light bulbs.
Hey,
like,
Alfred gets boards. Alfred gets boards.
Hey, Oladipo's going hard in the paint.
There would just be tons of basketball puns and. I don't know. I think, yep.
Probably like funny jokes, like "screw you." He's got screws.
Wouldn't you watch the Alfred Depot?
Yeah,
it's on my DVR already.
It would be great.
Mine was Kobe Bryant and Rajon Rondo.
Oh,
it's dark comedy.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a little intense.
Is it called No One Wants Us?
It's called Intensity.
Intensity.
Just every show is them having breakfast and talking.
It's a 30-minute breakfast.
It's called Intensity.
I love that.
And they're not even teammates yet. However,
no, they. I mean.
I'm forecasting a pilot for
it's
next season.
Destiny.
Ah, it's gonna be. I'd watch that. Well, only one though.
It might be on TNT because we know drama.
Who'd come after Suits?
I don't know if that's still it on. Actually might have to be on HBO.
Yeah. All of. Oh yeah.
God, I'm trying to think. I had one, but I forget what it was.
The Alfred Depot is an ABC
Alfred
show.
Depot. Yes. Alfred Depot is. It's ABC Family.
Yeah,
yeah, it's definitely ABC Family.
It's like The Suite Life of Zach and Cody. It pairs so well with it. Our next Twitter question comes from at Cody Kaiser, who wants to know, who is your starting five of the players that make less than $10 million?
So he sent us something very different than this, but we I edited it so that it made it kind of difficult to make this roster. So players less than $10 million that aren't on rookie scale deals, kind of like the best guys who aren't making a ton of money. So that's what we did.
You said also guys whose contracts are not expiring.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So players. Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, like some of these, like Paul Millsap's going to be like more than $10 yeah. million dollar okay. guy.
Yeah.
Because I was getting ready to re-edit my list, but okay, we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they expire at the end of this season, then yeah.
And if they're on a rookie scale contract or if they're on their first contract in the NBA, those are the guys we eliminated.
You can be on your, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. Yes. Draymond Green cannot be.
Draymond Green is not on this
list,
for
example,
because he will be a max player as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My starting lineup, Mike Conley is my point guard. JJ Redick's my shooting guard.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Ariza.
Yeah.
Small forward. Dirk.
Yeah.
And Tiago Splitter.
It's almost not even fair to include Dirk in that list because he's only doing it for his team.
But it's...
But it, he is.
I mean,
he falls into the rules, man.
It's true.
Him, it would be him or Bobo.
You're right.
Yep.
Yeah, so I had also had Mike Conley.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, my man crush and everything. I'm going with the dual point guard system, though. I've got George Hill.
Oh, wow.
I thought about that. I like George Hill a lot.
Went with George Hill. My center is Hassan Whiteside.
I thought about Whiteside. He's making less than a mil.
Yes, he is.
He's going to make a ton of money, though.
Yeah.
If he can hold it together.
Yeah, that's, yeah. That's a big if.
He's still going to make the money. He's still going to get paid somewhere.
I've also got Dirk because it's obvious.
Yeah.
But I've got Kyle Korver. I went with Korver instead.
Yeah.
And so I kind of think with that team, we've got the three-point shooting. We've got some interior defense with Hassan Whiteside. It really, to me, it was like, do I go Powell or Dirk at this point?
Yeah.
So I went with Dirk.
Yeah. My team is the same as yours, Andrew, except my point guard is Dragic.
That was... Well, now he's expiring.
He doesn't have options, though? Oh, he said he's not going to take... When I look at it, he has...
He's going to make way more than he's making right now.
Well, fine.
But technically, he is correct that I think that there is a player option that
you can keep
him. Decline.
You can keep
him.
Yes!
And you could screw him like the Thunder are doing with Josh Eustis.
Yeah! Screw you.
Screw. Quit going so hard in the paint, Oladipo.
Oh, screw you, Elf.
You got way too many boards.
There was a lot of guys on that list that I mean, Jeff Teague was an option.
Teague, yeah. Mm, there's a lot of point guards.
Paul Pierce, Luol Deng, Tony Allen, Ed Davis, James Johnson, Jamal Crawford.
I thought about taking Luol Deng, but I feel like he's always like one minor step away from the hospital.
Oh, I agree. I'm not sure he's recovered from his spinal tap 2 years ago.
So weird.
That's why I didn't pick Varejao, too. I looked at Varejao and I was like, nope, not going to work.
You know who I learned is still in the NBA? Elton Brand.
He is.
Yeah. Came in the game the other night.
Yeah. That was awesome.
That was the best. Our next Twitter question is from at Colin McGoodtime. And he wants to know, any thoughts or ideas on potential trades for Thunder pick, for the Thunder's pick? He would love to see 1 and 2 plus Lamb for S. Johnson at 8 or 9.
That is like that would be great. But are the Hornets or the Pistons going to take that deal? Like Jeremy Lamb's not. I mean, he's more of like a dead weight contract right now than he is a basketball
player. He means something to me, man.
That's right.
But Reggie's going to tell the Pistons how much he likes him.
They are best friends.
Yeah.
A new sitcom possibility.
Yes. Reggie Lambeau.
And the title would just be OKC Haters.
Yeah. So, John, you wrote an article for Daily Thunder basically talking about how difficult it is to move up.
Yeah.
And like what you have, like you have to give up a lot.
You do.
Typically, unless, like you said, unless it's like the Kings being stupid.
Right. Unless you find someone that's just being idiotic. Going over the past few drafts, there have been teams that have traded up into like the top 10, but
yeah,
the Thunder don't have the goods to do that. Like they don't have an extra first round pick to package and move up, or they would have to give up probably not Jeremy Lamb, I'm afraid to say,
no.
But probably take like a Mitch McGarry, you know, at a
starting. Well, I don't even
point.
Know. I mean, would they even, I mean,
exactly
how much value does Mitch McGarry have?
Well, I mean, he showed some promise last season.
I mean, you're going to have to give up Steven Adams.
Probably
is what they're going to have to give up.
That's why I say, like, McGarry had a baseline.
Yeah.
And even then, how much are you going to launch up? And is it really worth giving up all that just to move up a few spots? So.
Yeah. I mean, like, who would even move? Like, the Suns wouldn't do that. Even to move up a pick, I don't think the Suns would do it. The Jazz probably wouldn't do it because they got bigs. The Pacers wouldn't do it because they have their bigs. The Heat... Probably not, because I mean they can get a guy like Stanley Johnson at 10.
They're going to trade him for a 10-year veteran. Miami has no time for these young players.
I mean, the thing is, like, Stanley Johnson looks incredible, and are you going to give that the opportunity to take him so that you can take Mitch McGarry and the 14th pick.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still get a good player at 14, but, you know, I'd rather have a potential all-star than, you know, what is there at 14 plus Mitch McGarry. But, I mean, if they give up Adams, then they can get, I mean, you could get up foreseeably to, I mean, I think the Heat would probably do that deal. The Nuggets might do that deal. Mm-hmm. There are teams that would probably do that, but I don't think the Thunder are going to do that.
Right.
So, yeah,
and you have to get higher than 10 if you're going to put Adams into the deal.
Yeah.
You just can't give up that much for that.
Yeah. And here, I mean, this pick is really, really valuable to the Thunder because, I mean, you pay a guy a rookie scale deal at 14. And you can develop a potential star, a potential, you know, really good role player on the cheap. This is really, I mean, Presti is going to take a guy, I think, and they're going to keep him on the squad. And, you know, there's going to be good players at 14 available that are going to fill a role that they need filled. Would it be nice to get a higher pick? Yes. I just don't think they're going to be willing to give up what's necessary to get up there. So
no, I agree.
I think we just really need to be more focused on the prospects. If you're going to focus on anything toward the draft, I would just count on them taking a guy and watch me be wrong. But I would just count on them taking a guy.
Well, that kind of goes into our next Twitter question from Cease66, who wants to know, would you trade up to get Winslow? Chad Ford has him going to the Nuggets in current mock drafts. Sam Presti calls Tim Conley and offers ...
the 14th pick and Steven Adams.
I haven't fully fleshed out this idea, but what I've kicked around is, for example, the Sacramento Kings reportedly would like to get Ty Lawson.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
In order to do that, they're really going to have to throw in the contract of Carl Landry into that deal in order to beef up the salaries to make it match. Landry probably does not make sense on a rebuilding Nuggets team. So could the Thunder jump into that trade and offer to absorb Landry's contract and give up the package we talked about, the 14 pick, Novak, Lamb, Jones, and absorb that contract? They would, in essence, be paying $7 million to move up into that 5 or 6 slot.
Hmm.
And again, because I've said that out loud, it's never going to happen.
Yeah,
but it's something that I kind of kicked around. Like, could they use the ability to buy long term debt to move up in the draft?
That would be interesting.
Hmm.
That's. I mean, I think that's a way for it to happen for sure.
And they've also got Alex Abrines, who's never coming to the NBA apparently. No. So throw him into a trade.
Offer him up. You can have the rights to this guy who has no interest in coming over.
What about Pretzels?
Greg Pretzels?
Yeah.
Do we still have the rights to him?
I don't know. I think we traded Greg.
What's his real name?
No. I don't know.
All right.
Pretzels.
You've just been calling him Pretzels for so long, you've forgotten.
Greg, and his first name is definitely not Greg. I'll tell you.
It is not.
I think he's the VP of daytime game coordination operations.
Greg Pretzels.
Gregory Pretzels.
All right.
I mean, the Thunder, who would you be willing to give up in a trade? I mean, we know that Jeremy Lamb, Perry Jones, yes, we will give them to you.
Which people don't understand. These guys are future all-stars.
Yeah.
we know this.
It's we just don't have the room.
Yes, it's other teams to understand that.
I mean, would you give up Anthony Morrow in a deal?
I don't think, as much as this team needs shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's untouchable. But
I hope we don't. I like him too much.
Yeah.
Robertson? Yeah. Would you give up Robertson?
Yes.
Yes.
I know a lot of people jump automatically and say yes.
Who?
Which people?
Who are you talking about? Yeah. I just some people. I'm not being specific here. We understand his value on the defensive
end. Cheap, and if he develops a 3-point shot,
he's a hard worker. I mean, I imagine he's probably been shooting 3-pointers for the past 2 hours while we've been reporting this podcast, right? So,
I don't think that they deal
him. But I don't know how much value he has to trade up.
He has more value to the Thunder than he does to anybody else.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, and. The other thing that I thought of in terms of like dealing Lamb or Jones to Denver, with the salary cap getting ready to spike, right, the salary floor is going to spike as well.
Yeah.
So teams are going to start throwing around a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to have to drop, say, $7 million on a guy, wouldn't you rather drop it on a prospect like Jeremy Lamb than, say, Carl Landry? So,
yeah.
And that's why I'm thinking, like, Lamb and Jones may want to get out of this situation so that way they can you know, wind up somewhere, prove themselves, and take advantage of this money that they may not get that opportunity in Oklahoma City. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, our last Twitter question comes from @Matthew_JWatso. That doesn't look right.
That's definitely right.
He wants to know, what should OKC be looking for in their coaching staff besides just NBA experience?
Creative people? I don't know. Like, I think NBA experience is very, very important for this particular coaching staff. So, I mean,
you've got Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, Chuck Daly passed away. Who else we have out there? I'm trying to find guys with like championship experience.
Yeah,
that they could add.
Do you think Pop would come over as a?
You know, he might, because he's accomplished everything he can accomplish in San Antonio. But he has never won.
So
a
he
title
wants
as
to
an
be
assistant
now
coach.
An assistant coach.
Yeah, sounds Phil cool. Jackson could be a pretty good coach for our bigs.
Yeah, I think so.
Kind of fill the Mark Bryant role.
Uh huh.
What about Monty Williams? For real? Has there been any talk about him?
Yeah, there has. I think that there's a good chance of him coming to Oklahoma City. You know, they already have a relationship because they work together on Team USA. It would be good. Like, Monty doesn't have a great reputation right now. And if he could be on Oklahoma City's bench and they could do a lot of really good things, like, look what it's done for Alvin Gentry.
Exactly.
Like, Alvin Gentry right now is, like, a huge, like, coaching get. But was he before this season? No, he wasn't. He was on the Clippers bench before this. And then now he's, you know, on the Golden State bench. And everybody's like, you'd be stupid not to hire Alvin Gentry.
And if Gentry had been on the Clippers staff this season and they go out in the second round, how hot.
Yeah.
Is he really?
Yeah. Right. So. He's not.
It's the same reason Mo Cheeks got another opportunity to be a head coach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a good chance that they bring him in and he's the lead assistant. And I think that would be really a really nice fit. I also think that Mo Cheeks could come as well.
Yeah.
Which would be good. So yeah. I like the prospect of both those guys. And then as far as like, besides NBA experience, I think you have to have a pretty strong analytics team on your coaching staff. And I think that Donovan's really open to that. So
I would really like to see a defensive minded guy. Or really. And that's where Mike Malone is really intriguing to me.
Yeah.
But I would really like to see, because in the past, I think we're kind of seeing now that a lot of the defensive success the Thunder had was largely personnel based, more so than scheme and coaching ability. So
I know Monty wasn't able to deliver a good defense. Yeah, but I've heard that he's a good defensive minded guy, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had Omer Asik and Anthony Davis, and they were 20 watt in the league in defense.
It was not good.
Yeah.
But I mean, that happens to guys. What's his name up in Toronto?
Dwayne Casey.
Great defensive mind.
Mm-hmm.
Could not get that Toronto team to play defense on anybody.
Right.
One of the worst in the league. So I think that even if you can't get, as a head coach, to get your team to play defense, it doesn't mean that you're not a good defensive coach, if that makes sense.
Sure.
I think if he's just given the time to, like, you're only devoting your time to defense. Because if you're a head coach, your time is sucked up by a ton of different things. So I think that Monty could be that guy.
Cool. Guys, let's move on to the playoff matchups. First, what do we have to say about the Rockets and the Warriors?
How do you guys feel about James Harden? He had the chance to have the last shot.
Mm-hmm. Pass it to Dwight. Dwight passed it right back to him.
I don't think he saw who it was trailing him. I think he saw it was anyone but
Dwight. You see Terrence Jones all by himself running to the basket there at the end?
I didn't.
Terrence Jones was all by himself. I mean, he could have dished it to him for a dunk.
Yeah.
But anyways, he got double teamed. ended up knocking the ball away, and then he ends up just laying on the ground as confetti falls on him in Golden State.
You know, right before that, when he passed the ball to Dwight, I didn't feel like he had to do that right then. I felt like they were double teaming him, but I felt like he kind of had control of the situation, passed it to Dwight, got the ball right back, and it was a much harder situation for him to be in, you know? It got way worse, and it wasted, like, what, 2 more seconds just to give Dwight the ball just to get it back?
Yeah.
I don't understand the reasoning. I don't know.
It was a nice play-in by Golden State.
Yeah.
Because obviously he wasn't looking for anybody else.
No.
And they knew that. So, I don't know. That game was good. That was a good game. I mean, both these games have been much better than I would have anticipated.
Yeah.
The Rockets are a good basketball team.
They are, but they just make so many little mistakes that Golden State can get a little bit out of. You know, and it just adds up and adds up and adds up.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that they're playing into Golden State's hands the whole time.
Yeah.
And Golden State just does what they want to do much better. They just have the personnel to do what they want to do much better. I mean, they both love to switch on the pick and roll, and they love to run up and down the court, and they love to shoot threes. Every single one of those things, the Golden State Warriors do much better.
If James Harden would have stayed in Oklahoma City, that pass would have been to Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Serge Ibaka.
Yeah.
Or to Deion. Do you think they would have traded for Deion if they'd have kept James Harden?
You get the chance to trade for Deion Waiters, you do it.
True.
He would have given up 13 to Deion right then if he stayed on the Thunder.
He would have offered it to him. You can have 13 as long as you come to the Thunder.
Just Golden State, one thing too, is like they have the best player on the floor. Steph, there's not a question to me. Steph Curry is better than James Harden.
He's been outrageous.
He's so good. Mm-hmm. His shooting stroke is unbelievable.
What do you do when he's making those shots last night at the end of the fourth quarter? You're making a run, and Steph Curry's just getting whatever he wants. And throughout the game, they're leaving him open from the 3-point line. Pablo Prigioni's supposed to guard him, you know?
I was watching this and like, wow, how do you stop this? And then I had to stop and think for a moment. We've seen this before with Kevin Durant. I mean, it's easy to forget that, but Oklahoma City has that type of guy where you think, how in the world can you ever compete against this?
Mm-hmm.
So there's hope.
Yeah. I'm not going to declare the Rockets done. Because I've done that before, and it has bit me real hard.
Yeah.
So I think the Rockets do have a shot to come back. Obviously, this team has a ton of heart.
Yeah.
To come back from a 3-1.
Yeah. I know, like, that takes a lot.
I'm not saying they're going to win.
Right.
I'm not saying they're going to win. I think they're going to win one or two games.
Okay. And just like something too, the Clippers series, like, I don't know how much credit I give the Rockets. They beat the Clippers when James Harden, their best player, was sick. I mean, I give them credit. You kept playing. You took advantage of the Clippers flopping. But
that,
like,
is not.
They were not better than the Clippers. They would not have won that series if the Clippers didn't just have this terrible collapse. The Clippers were obviously better than the Rockets and are obviously better than the Rockets. And they just laid an egg. I don't know what to do.
Okay. I don't think I agree with that, but they're not better because they don't have depth. They don't have depth. If they had depth, then I would say, yes, the Clippers are most certainly better. But you can't. I mean, you're bringing guys off.
The Clippers should have won that series, though. They were dominating them. They should have.
But you can't just. I mean, the Rockets fought hard.
Yeah, they did.
They beat them on their own, in L.A. Game 6. The Clippers should have won that game. They didn't because the Rockets. Really, I mean, they dominated. So I don't know.
That speaks to depth, what you talked about, because they came out with Josh Smith and Corey Brewer and came back to win that game.
Right.
Where the Clippers have who in that spot? Hedo Turkoglu and FK Udo, I guess.
I mean, the starting lineups obviously favor the Clippers, but when you get to their benches, you just can't play guys on the Clippers, and I think that really matters. I think that the Clippers going forward will be a better team because I think that they're going to be able to find some depth.
I don't know that they are.
Well, they don't have the money to.
Well, it's not necessarily the money, but the tools. I mean, because Ballmer's got money everywhere, but yeah. The tools they're going to have available to them, they're going to have the taxpayer mid-level exception,
right,
and minimum salary. That is all they've got, unless they, you know, work some trades.
But they found like some of the worst players to fill those spots.
Yeah, but that's on this past Doc. Year.
Yeah, but I think that you can learn from your mistakes, though.
I don't know if Doc can at this point.
Yeah, I think he can.
I
think he can.
There's a clear difference to me between Doc the coach and Doc the executive.
Yeah.
There needs to be somebody to check him in the front office.
But he, I mean, you can't, he has to look at his roster at the end of the season and say, wow, like, this wasn't enough.
Right. And but again, how can you actually improve upon that with just the $3.4 million taxpayer mid-level exception?
I don't know. I mean, I think that a player, an older player who's looking for a place to land may take that.
Yeah, but I mean, they need more than that. I mean,
I think they need one more player. If they had one more good rotation player, I think they would have beat the Rockets and we'd be talking about them.
And there's Spencer Hawes. I mean, I know he was a flop this season, but it's kind of revisionist history now to laugh at that. Now, I've kind of bashed that signing all along because I didn't feel like the Clippers were good enough to handcuff themselves by signing Hawes,
right,
by hard capping themselves.
Yeah,
that to me, that was the problem, is before they were cemented as a finals contender, they kind of limited a lot of their options.
Yeah.
So, Hawes could bounce back and become a good contributor.
He's not an awful player.
He's not. He's really not.
And he's awful at things.
Right.
But he's not an awful basketball player.
Hey, he scored 56 points in the summer. That's only game. That's it.
I think.
It's all over.
Yeah. I don't know.
But they've got, I mean, backup point guard, they've got to do something besides Austin Rivers. I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with Austin Rivers other than he's a negative player for the most part, but
he proved to be a lot better than I thought he was going to
be. Chris Paul's going to be 30 with a lot of miles on his legs. They need depth up front. And if they lose DeAndre Jordan, all bets are off.
Yeah.
That's a very real possibility. And if that happens, it gets even worse because then they don't have even cap room to replace him.
If he walks, it's over.
Yeah. But that's how fleeting some of these title contenders can be.
Yeah.
So what are you guys predicting in this series? I say 5 Warriors.
5 is how I picked it in the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably right. I would agree with that. Okay, what do you guys think about the Cavs and the Hawks?
I believe it is a series that is being played.
Yes.
I feel bad for Damari Carroll. He's had an incredible playoffs up to this point. He's the Hawks leading scorer.
That guy has been outrageous.
And really good.
He's had more 20-point games in the playoffs than Kyrie, LeBron. Can't remember the rest of the list. Good guys. Score.
He's had more 20-point games than Mike Muscala.
He has. That's true.
But his per 36 numbers would be just fantastic.
Yeah.
Mike Muscala.
I like Mike Muscala. I picked the Hawks in 7. I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah, I am too.
But it's not looking good so far.
after one game, but also J.R. Smith is not going to shoot 8-for-12 from 3.
Why again. Not?
He probably could. Maybe he will. He will.
He was so
making
good.
Everything, he was man. Great. He was making good passes too. He was in the zone.
He was in the zone.
But Korver has, this is the most badly timed shooting slump I've ever seen. It's terrible. That is the guy that makes their offense work. If he's not making those threes, it just doesn't work as well.
Well, and I think this is regular season Hawks versus playoff Hawks.
You really think so?
Yeah. No. And the reason I say that is because of how he's being defended.
Yeah.
You know, during the regular season, sure, there's scouting tapes available, but you know, you scout, you scheme, you play the Hawks, you move on to your next game. But if you know you're going to play them in a series, now you can design a sustainable plan to defend against them, and that's what teams are doing and are limiting them is the effectiveness.
And they haven't really been able to counter. I mean, they've limped their way. I can't talk right now.
Oh my gosh. It's Doc Rivers, ladies and gentlemen.
They've
limped their way through. I really do.
They've limped their way through the playoffs at this point, just kind of patching games together. Like their game plan has not been real consistent. They haven't been able to do what they want to do.
No.
But if they can somehow like find that magic, because I think they could, I think they can win the series. But one team has LeBron, the other team doesn't.
And they're just not a very good rebounding team, which I was texting you guys about.
They're not a good defensive rebounding team. They haven't been all season.
Yeah, I know. I don't get it, though.
Tristan Thompson is a fantastic offensive rebounder.
Yeah. So. And then
top three probably in the league.
Yeah. And you have to box out Timofey Mozgov too, who's just been a monster. Yeah, he's just been a monster. Al Horford, what, he's 6'10". Timofey Mozgov is much bigger than Al Horford.
He's so 7'13" or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what Korver's shooting from three in the playoffs?
34%.
35.
35%.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's not great. DeMar Carroll's 42%.
That is good. That's good.
He just
that
keeps is good. That contract figure just keeps going up.
I know.
This summer.
He's going to make a lot of money.
And the Hawks are not, if they have cap room, they can re-sign him. But otherwise, all they could do is the early bird exception, which allows you to sign a guy for, is it 150% of his previous salary, 175? I think it's 175. Exceed the cap and sign him for that. He's going to get more because he's making under $3 million.
Yeah, why is that? Why can't they re-sign him over
the cap? It's the early bird exception. So he's only got 2 years with the Hawks. So he's an early bird, not a full bird.
Yeah.
If you're a full bird free agent, then the team can exceed the salary cap by any amount to re-sign you.
Right.
If you're an early bird, they can exceed the cap to re-sign you, but only up to 175% of your previous salary.
How do you become an early bird?
2 years.
Only a 2 year deal.
Right. If you've been with your previous team for 2 years without changing teams as a free agent.
Okay.
You just got to wake up early and get that worm.
Yeah. You got to get the worm.
The worm may bite the Hawks,
yeah,
real hard. Because if they can't re-sign him,
and they can. I mean, I think that they have.
Do they have the cap space?
I think they'll be able to drop under the salary cap to potentially re-sign him with cap room.
Yeah,
I got to think about that. No, because then they would have to renounce like the free agent rights to Millsap.
Millsap,
to
right?
Do that. That's so they may have to make a decision one way or the other.
They may just have Tabo full-time, too.
Well, Tabo.
Tabo with a nightstick.
Yeah. With a nightstick in the bedroom. In this, so if Damari Carroll does not play for, let's say, the next two games, the Hawks have no chance.
None.
At all. There's no one to put on LeBron if Damari Carroll is out.
I don't think he's going to be out.
I've just seen things like this happen too often where so teams just put it together.
I can't see it.
Kent Bazemore is going to do it.
Kent Bazemore is going to get smoked. Paul Millsap tries to guard LeBron. He just can't. There's no one to put on LeBron.
Millsap played LeBron really well, though.
But the Cavs could so easily counter that. Like, they could just set up their lineup in a way to where Millsap.
I know. Okay. Fine.
All right, so what do we say? What's this going to be? Hawks and seven, Andrew?
That was my original pick, and I'll stick with it.
I will, too.
I think Cavs and seven.
Comes back. Cavs and seven?
Yeah.
I had Cavs and six. We'll see if that holds.
Wow. You have no faith. You have two games worth of faith. It's not a lot.
All right. Let's move on to our game, which this week, Taylor, last week we drafted teams and you had them play in NBA 2K.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know what happened.
Okay.
Should we go over our teams?
Yeah, we should go over our teams. So go ahead, Luke. Who is your team?
I had Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
CP3. Kevin Love.
Korver.
Kyle Korver.
Kyle Korver. And
Mark Gasol.
Mark Gasol.
Andrew?
John Wall. James Harden. LeBron James. Chris Bosh. And Horford.
Jay had Steph Curry. Klay Thompson.
Stop.
Gorgman.
Stop hitting that, because every time you do that, I hear a spring echo.
Really?
Yep.
That's kind of cool. Now I know I have that sound effect. Gordon Hayward, DeAndre Jordan, and who's this power forward? Dang it.
I don't remember.
Serge Ibaka.
Oh, Davis.
No, Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis.
And mine was blah, 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 blah. So let's go into, I pick Marshawn Brooks as my two guard, and he's not in the league, so he's not in 2K. He's not in 2K.
He's not even a free agent in 2K?
No, 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 no. He's not. Well, he is, but you can't pick him for the black. I had to do black top 5-on-5 to be able to pick each player for each team the way I wanted it. So all of these games are 21. These are games with 21. Ones and twos. This is how I had to do it. That's there wasn't anything else. The first game was Jay and Andrew. It was a close game. It was close all game. A total of... Huh?
I'm so nervous.
Yeah, I bet you are. A total of 42 threes were taken in this game of 21.
Yes.
A lot of threes. With the game winding down, Harden and Curry traded back-to-back-to-back threes. So four
it was threes like last night.
Yeah, to keep the game toe-and-toe. But it was Klay Thompson who hit the game-winning three for the Jays, man. Jay, Klay and Steph were amazing, totaling 16 of their team's 21 points.
What was LeBron doing?
Nothing. LeBron wasn't doing nothing.
Oh, man. That's my number one pick.
Six assists, and Klay and Steph went 7 of 14 from deep.
Andrew, that's a lot, LeBron.
Harden was your man. 10 points, all coming from 3-point range. So 5 threes made for 10 points.
I'm so annoyed right now.
John Wall really hurt you. He was being a ball hog. He was taking a lot of pull-up jumpers. 33% from the field, John Wall went. He's the one who
just
hurt
move
you.
On. Just keep going.
So Jay is the winner of that game. One game, Jay wins.
Congrats, Jay.
The next game was me and Luke.
I have to have beaten you.
My team is Russ, Dion. Why can't I remember my team? Whatever.
I hope I beat.
Anyway, there were some juicy matchups in this game. CP3 versus Russ. And then we had KD. You had KD and I had Paul George.
Yeah.
PG-13. Let me tell you, they did not disappoint. This game started out with a really nice flow and rhythm.
Why are you narrating this so much?
Not as many threes, but things got out of hand fast. The Taylors got up 16-10 at one point, but that lead quickly vanished as Russ and Dion used 8 consecutive possessions on pull-up threes. I watched, giving the Lukes a chance to gain some ground and ultimately gave them the win, 21-18.
Yes!
I shot 34% from the field thanks to Russ and Dion combining for 22 of our team's 32 total field goal attempts. They're just taking jumpers, man. Dion and Russ. Luke, CP3 was fantastic. Kyle Korver got really cocky a few times. He would like dribble in the paint and then back up to the 3-point line and take threes. And that's it. So the championship game is Jay versus Luke.
I hope I win.
And wow, what a game. We had threes, rebounds, and a total of 5 assists. What more could you ask for?
You spent a lot of time on this.
I did. This was really fun for me. Steph was hard from was playing hard from beginning to end with 13 total points, including 6 made threes. But that was pretty much washed by Gordon Hayward's total inability to pull through in a big game. Not enough experience in situations like this. The pressure got to him. He had 0 statistics besides going 0 from 7 from the field.
Oh, Gordon!
Kyle Korver was good for you, man. Went 4-9 from the field. Nice. Hit 3 threes. It was a total team effort for the Lukes throughout the game as everyone on the floor scored at least 1 point. They had the lead and only needed one more three to win it. Love was open. Miss. CP3, miss. KD, miss.
Am I getting all these rebounds or is Jay coming back?
No, these are like possessions being traded.
No.
It was the Jay's time to capitalize. Steph hits a three. And on the next possession, misses a wide open shot. The ball comes off the rim and, oh my God, DeAndre gets the offensive rebound. He goes up and the layup is good. Jay's win.
That is horse crap. That is upsetting.
So Jay won.
Congratulations.
Not even wow, Jay. You should have intentionally fouled DeAndre Jordan when you had a chance.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. No, you didn't have any. Let me tell you, I was watching it. There is no time. DeAndre Jordan got the offensive rebound and he went right back up. Layup. Man. Just a crispy layup. I have another game, though. This will take 2 seconds.
It's game time.
I
Okay. So a Twitter fan of ours, well, our friend Dustin, wanted us to make up a game to where we make up fictional. How do I explain this? Like Thunder player, what Thunder players do in the off season? Okay, summer, so their hobbies activities. Or summer activities. So I'm going to give you an activity, and then I'm going to give you three players, and you tell me who this player.
But there's a right answer.
I decided who this is. Okay. I made this up. Okay, here's the first one. I own and work at a snow cone stand. Our specialty is called the Mary Jane sugar cane. Is it Morrow, McGarry, or Lamb?
McGarry.
It's McGarry. And it's called, his snow cone stand is called Bro Cones.
I love that.
The next one. I'm super good at fair games and have a room full of gigantic stuffed animals. I travel around the country during the off season chasing traveling fairs. Is this Ennis, Russ, or Steve?
Steve.
Ennis.
Oh, man. Steve.
It's Ennis, Cancer. It's Ennis. Oh. keep your score, John.
Okay.
Here's the next one. I'm drunk the entire offseason. Is it KD, DJ, or Collison?
Collison.
DJ.
Collison.
Oh,
it's definitely Nick Collison.
He's the only one I see at the bars.
That's true.
He's out, man. He posts pics. I have a miniature pig farm. I like to sew costumes for them and have model pig shows, runway and all, in my living room. My grandma attends. Is this KD, PJ3, or Kyle Singler?
Kyle Singler.
PJ3.
It's Kyle Singler.
Yeah.
It was PJ, and then I remembered I don't like Kyle Singler, so I went with him.
I'm having a Clipper type collapse here.
Oh man, this is bad. No, you can come back. There's two left. I train every summer to be the next American Ninja Warrior. Is it Steve Novak, Russ, or Steve Adams?
Steve Adams.
Russ.
Novak.
It's Novak.
Yes, I knew it was Novak.
It's definitely Novak. The last one. This one's worth 80 points. So if you get this, you win. I hunt rabbits and go wherever it is that there are rabbits to hunt. After I hunt them rabbits, will I eat the meat and turn the feet into lucky ones? Is it Presti, Russ, or Rumble?
Rumble.
I would say it's Rumble.
Presti.
Well, keep guessing.
Russell.
You got it.
Yes, I win.
Okay. What I thought you said at first was instead of hunt, was hump. Will you reread that with replacing hunt with hump? And it's hilarious.
You got it. I hump rabbits and go wherever it is that has rabbits to hump. Hold on. This is the next one. After I hump them rabbits, will I eat the meat? I eat the meat and turn the feet into lucky ones.
Man, that's a lot better.
That's definitely Russ.
After I hump them rabbits, will I eat the meat?
That's rough.
That's what I was like. Oh, he's saying hunt. But then he said that. I was like, man, I wish he was saying hump.
Oh, you're right. That is much better. Andrew, you won, man. Congratulations. Oh, 82 points.
Thanks.
I say we all won.
Oh. Yeah, we all won.
We got any say what stats of the week?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
What?
What? I can't read lips, Jay.
Say what?
Stat of the week.
No.
DeAndre Jordan and Tyson Chandler were the two most open players in the league all year because they both can't shoot. The third most open player in the NBA. It was Andre Roberson. Yes.
Wow. Man.
In the top 10, there were only centers, except for Andre Roberson.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
Air balls.
You got that right.
Dang. Okay, guys, are you miffed and are you peeved?
Miffed.
Miffed.
Miffed. Miffed and peeved.
I'm a little miffed. Yesterday, we've been doing this like camp thing where I work, and we did like this big mud run, and where I work is out like in the middle of nowhere, and So there was this big mud pit, and we had to do like this mud crawl, like under this thing. So I do it, and I realize after I get up that it's basically just manure.
Oh, no.
And we just all just smell like poop. Oh my God. And so we have a big pond out there. So we all just sprint to the pond and just jump in because it was bad nose miffed.
Oh man, that's so
being covered
and
in
then
poop.
You realize the pond is mostly goose poop. You can't escape the poop.
Well, you go from poop smell to pond scum smell. So
the lesser of two evils. You think you picked right.
Yeah.
I'm not miffed, but this is, I was going to have this video say what stat, but it's kind of my miff stat.
Okay.
It's about a guy who's really miffed. It's about Kevin Garnett and how he's not only intense on the court. Have you heard the story?
Mm-hmm.
He headbutted his wall while watching an episode of Puff Daddy's Making the Band. I'd like to read this thing. It's from Tyron Lue, said this. A lot of people do all their howling on the court and they're faking just for attention. But what Kevin Garnett does is real. So one day we were at his house and we were watching Puff Daddy's show Making the Band. And in one of the scenes, some new guys came in and were trying to sing and were trying to compete against the guys who had been there. And KG just got so hyped. Mother effer, you've got to stand up for yours. You've got to fight. Mother effer, you've got to come together. He's going crazy. He's sweaty. He just headbutts the wall and puts a hole in the wall of his home. This is him watching Making the band. And if you know that, like, this is a classic scene for Make the Band, so it's okay to get hyped, but he put a hole in his wall.
That's awesome.
That's like the most Kevin Garnett thing I can imagine.
That's incredible.
That is so KG, man.
That dude's just going to drop dead one day, I think.
Yeah.
I just instantly, intensely.
Anything is possible! And then just die. After like a really good Mario Kart victory.
Yeah. I'm feeling blessed and grateful. Is that a new segment?
It can be.
Okay. Well, I went to Arby's. They got the meat.
Is this your good news?
Yep.
Are you serious?
No, this isn't my good news. This is a good news.
I don't even want to hear it.
Well, the Philly cheesesteak is so good.
Was that it?
Yeah.
I had Arby's last night, too. I have this one right here. I have it all the time.
Oh, it's so good.
I was mad. I'm so miffed about their thing being, we got the meats.
Yeah. Got the meats.
Why would you ever change it from I'm thinking Arby's?
Because you got the meats.
That's gross.
It's disgusting.
It's the worst.
Hey, Taylor, I thought you'd be miffed about pepperonis.
Okay, so...
Oh, man.
My girlfriend, every time I eat pizza, literally every time, I get pepperoni pizza, and she will take the pepperonis off the pizza that, like, I'm going to save for the next day for lunch or something, and just eat the pepperonis, and then... It just makes me mad because, like, I wanted pepperoni pizza tomorrow, but now I just have patchy pizza for tomorrow. Anyway, so she brought it up because she did it that night, and I got mad at her for it. And then later in the night, she brought it up. She was like, I can't believe you were so rude about when I ate your pepperoni. So I was like... And she just recorded me getting mad at her about taking pepperonis off of pizza.
And she put it on Twitter.
And she put it on Twitter.
It was hilarious.
She did. I thought it's funny.
It is funny.
But it is serious. I mean, it's a serious thing.
You were serious.
This has been like almost 7 years worth of this crap happening.
I'd be mad if I didn't get ever the pizza I ordered the next day. That's the cold pizza's the best.
Yep. Cold pizza's the best. And you want the pizza that you want.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm also mixed about one more thing. I got a Fitbit for my birthday.
Yeah.
And you can challenge people to like competitions. Mm-hmm. And so Amy got one too. And so you can like challenge people to like how many are going to take, who's going to take the most steps in a day. And so she's been like killing me. And so like she'll like send me the badges that she gets like in a text message. She's like, look what I got yesterday. Like she's been like rubbing it in my face like every single day. I've been really miffed about that.
But you just got to like right now you could be doing steps, man.
I could be.
I've seen people like, they're like, I'm about to get to 20,000. They're watching The Bachelor and just doing steps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She got out of the car the other day and she was like,
Scott, are you miffed?
Are you miffed?
Yeah. I don't know if I can top this, man. This is kind of like coming out after Jerry Seinfeld. No, so yesterday I'm at Brahms. I got my order. I go through the checkout line, and they occasionally do this thing, like, if you spend X amount of dollars, you get free whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
So I go through the line, and I'm eligible to get the free half gallon of fat-free milk. I didn't need a free half gallon of fat-free milk, but free.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, take it. There's no one in line. I'm like, okay. So I run to the back of the store, grab it, come back. But in that span of about 15 to 20 seconds, someone else came in and got in the other checkout line.
Yeah.
So my cashier leaves my lane and goes over to check her out. And it's one of these ladies that's got one of the most complicated transactions in the history of mankind. And like, she's trying to pay with like Bitcoin or something or rubies. And like, it's taking forever. And like, I'm in a time crunch here. I'm always in a time crunch, man. I've got a wife and kids.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I got places to go. I got things to get done. But the cashier went over, helps this other lady while I'm just standing there with my free half gallon of milk. Like, I haven't even paid yet, or else I'd have just grabbed my stuff and gone. So anyway, took a few minutes. I mean, a few minutes, 2 to 3 minutes, 2 to 3 more than was necessary out of my life.
Yep.
But there, I get a free half.
You'll never get those back.
Exactly.
And she should pay for those minutes.
Thanks, Brahms.
Miffed about one more thing.
You're super miffed today.
Miffed.
Let it out, man. This is where you let it out.
Amy texted me. She said, "You need anything from the store?" I said, "Yeah, I need some more cereal." She said, "Okay, what do you want?" I said, "Surprise me." It's a bad idea. She comes home with Fruity Pebbles.
Hey, I'm not. I wouldn't be that miffed about that.
That cereal's trash.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you cereals?
Thanks for listening to Down Dumb Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTDPodcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review, and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.